now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The gospel today is one that, to me, held a lot of distractions. Because there's a lot to talk about. We have Jesus who is in a strange land, and strange people come up to him, and they're asking him all sorts of things. And this woman comes up and says, "You got to help me." And his disciples say, "Take care of her." And he says this thing that sounds so harsh. And her response is amazing. And his response has this reference to dogs, which, especially when you keep in mind that the Jews considered dogs unclean and regarded them in about the same place that they regarded pigs, it's horribly unclean. Weren't fond of dogs at all. So he was just basically saying, "You're just horrible." It was a very crass comment to make. It's just such a strange thing to say, and we're going to get into it in a minute, but it's like that big, really huge target that says, "Preach about me." And so I started thinking about it and thinking, okay, how do I talk about what great dog story can I talk about? Because I've had some really wonderful dogs in my life. And then I've had some really bad dogs in my life. And I really felt like that wasn't where God was leading me. And I thought, maybe I'm just a little, you know, a few degrees off. Maybe I should be talking about, like, underdogs. And I sort of did a little research on, you know, great underdog stories. And I thought, no, that's not right either. And I just kept on searching, and I really think that I found where it was going, and it was in a totally different direction, but I think you're going to relate to it better. I think maybe it's something that's going to speak to us all a bit more. So Jesus left where he had been, and he went to the regions of Tyre and Sidon. These are pagan lands. This is not Judea. This is not even Samaria, which is like half Jew. This is full-on Paganville, okay? And to make it even clearer, Matthew says a Canaanite woman came to him. So just in case you might have been thinking that maybe there was some wandering Jew happened to be in from out of town that happened to visit him. No, this is a Canaanite woman. She is a pagan. He is in a pagan land and happens to pass by a pagan woman, and behold, this pagan woman from that region cried out to him saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, O Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Now note that she calls him Lord. She says he's Lord. This is a term not just that says, you know, sir, but it implies that he's Lord, God. And then she addresses him as the Son of David, the Messiah. She may not be a Jew, but she knows to whom she's talking. She addresses him as the Lord and the Messiah. And she says, "My daughter's possessed." Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm talking to a roofer, I don't tell him that my toilet's plugged. He's not going to do anything about it. Right? Now, if you're talking to a plumber, you mention that your toilet's plugged. And if you're talking to a roofer, you tell them that you've got a problem with your roof. Because these are people who can address the problem. She knows that the Son of David can do something to fix the fact that her child is demon-possessed. She knows this. She may be a foreigner, she may be a pagan, she may be a filthy heathen, but she knows to whom she's speaking and she knows what he can do. But he answered her not a word. He just flat out ignored her. Brutal. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." And he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, there's a misconception here. The misconception is that the disciples said, "Jesus, get rid of her. She's bothering us. Will you tell her to scat? She keeps pestering us." But if that were the case, his answer wouldn't make sense. Because he wouldn't have to explain why he wasn't doing anything. Right? Because basically he says, "I wasn't called to do anything to her. I'm only sent to the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel." They say, "Send her away, she bothers us." And what they mean is, "Heal her daughter, she's bothering us." Which I don't know if that makes them better or worse. She's pestering us. Just go ahead and heal her, kid. But he says, "No. I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. I was sent to the Jews. I wasn't sent to these pagans, these godless heathens. I was sent to the Jews." Now, do you think that Jesus knew who he was dealing with? Do you think that Jesus knew how much faith this woman had to begin with? You think that there was anything that Jesus did that wasn't to teach the people who were around him something about who he was and who God is? So there's a lesson that he was trying to teach here, because he knew that this woman was not going to stop. So she says, she worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Lady, you're just a dog. I'm sent to God's children, and you're just a dog. You're a cur. You're nothing. This woman's come to him for help, and he is rejecting her. But she doesn't quit. And she says one of the most profound statements. "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And immediately her daughter was healed. Jesus doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't have to do anything. "Great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." Immediately she's healed. Now, the thing that we can all relate to in this passage is that feeling of rejection. that feeling of needing to be somewhere, needing to be accepted, needing to be helped, and being cast out. That feeling of being the outcast. Because we've all been there. Whether it's in the schoolyard, in our friendships, in our dating relationships, in whatever relationship, whether it's in our sports teams, whether we were picked last in the schoolyard to be on the baseball team, on the football team, whatever. We've all been there. And that feeling of being last, cast out, not being part of the in crowd. We've all been there at some point. Whether it was your siblings who paired up and you were the odd man out. Whether it was whatever. I could go through a million examples because every one of us has one where we were the outsider. And every one of us has this feeling because all of us have been there because it goes back to our parents. And not mom and dad, but Adam and Eve, who sinned and were the first outcasts when they were cast out of Eden. Because from that point on, there was a separation between us and God. St. Augustine said it best when he said, "Each of us has a restless heart, which remains eternally restless until it finds its rest in the Lord." Now, as Christians, we know that this angst that we feel, this unspeakable inner turmoil, won't be satisfied with anything but God. We know that there's nothing else that can really satisfy, because there's nothing else that will fit in that hole that's inside of us except for God. And whatever else you try and cram into that will ultimately not work. But the problem is that the world doesn't know that. And the world has been trying to stick their fingers in their ears and been whistling in the dark and saying there is no God. So if there is no God, then the solution to all my angst certainly can't be God. So the solution has to be something else. Maybe it's success. Maybe it's a beautiful house. Maybe it's a tremendously beautiful spouse, or a tremendously well-paying job, or a really fancy car, or maybe it's a whole lot of alcohol or drugs or sex or who knows what. But they keep trying to satisfy that which can't be satisfied. Because we're all outcasts. We've been cast out. And God has welcomed us back home. He's invited us back in. See, he sent his son to welcome us home. He sent his son to make the way home for us. It's not that Jesus came to show us all the things we were doing wrong. He came and ascended back into heaven, like he told Thomas, I go to prepare the way for you, so that where I go, you also will go. I'm going so that you can come too. We're going home. But the world doesn't know that, and they're still feeling like outcasts. There's that big part of them that they can't identify, that still is that little kid on the playground that's picked last, that has that feeling like they don't belong, that has that feeling like nobody wants them, that has that feeling like they're not supposed to be here. Do you know why? Because it's true. We don't belong here. We belong in heaven. We belong with God. That's where we're supposed to be. We're surrounded by people who don't realize that. The whole world is peopled with individuals who are suffering because they don't realize that the ache they feel can only be sated by a relationship with God. As you walk about your lives this week, look at those people that you come in contact with and see them as those kids on the school ground who are picked last, those people at the dance who never get asked to dance, those people who never get to go out on a Friday night because they never have friends. Those are the outcasts. That's every last one of us who don't know God. That crushing loneliness fills everyone, and they just don't know what it's called. But there's hope. That hope is in Christ. Isaiah even knew about it long before Jesus came. In the passage we read today, he talks about this weird passage about eunuchs. Eunuchs were cast out of the kingdom of God. They were considered ruined people and were left out. They couldn't worship in the temple. They couldn't worship God because they were ruined. And what does Isaiah say about him? He says, keep justice, do righteousness, and my righteousness is to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold of it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing an evil. The Lord has separated from me. Do not let the eunuch say, here am I, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuch who keeps my Sabbath and chooses what pleases me and holds fast my covenant, even to them, even to the eunuch, I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a better name than that of the sons and daughters. I will give him an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Even to the outcast, even to the foreigner, even to the kid picked last, even to the person with no friends, I will give him a name. I will call him my son. I will call him my daughter. I will call him my beloved. I will give him more than the crumbs that fall from my table. I will give him the bread from this table. I will give him my body, and I will give him my blood. The people who we encounter on a daily basis have been cast out of heaven and don't even know it was where they were meant for. Take a minute sometime in the afternoon today and remember that really horrible time in your childhood, in your adolescence, when you really felt cast out. And realize that that's what the world goes through 24/7. And realize that is the mission field. That's who we've been sent to deal with. That's the field that is ripe for harvest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.